I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, the 25th chapter. Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. Verses 22 to 25. It is 22 to 34, but we will just, because of shortage of time, we will just read these verses.
But the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If all is well, why am I like this?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau.
Amen. And verses 29 to 34 also, please.
Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I am about to die, so what is this birthright to me?" Then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him, and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to title the message, "Buy Your Future." Look at somebody and say, "Buy Your Future." Amen. We know this story. I've preached from this passage of text many a time. It's amazing, two people who are born from the same culture, same environment, same parents, actually they are twins, how their lives can go in two different directions. From this passage of scripture, I just want to give you three thoughts. One is the prophetic aspect of the scripture. Second is the productive system of these two brothers. And the third is the purpose and the value that both of them had. The first one is the prophetic aspect. You know, many a time we look through scriptures. How many of you know the story of Jacob? Well, one of the scriptures that we really know is the scripture which, you know, whenever you study this, two incidents that always come to our mind is one, Jacob selling his birthright, and the other is actually Isaac blessing Jacob. Many a time, most of the preachers, including me, we preach on the scripture and we take the name of Jacob and we call him deceiver. But I was, you know, kind of bombarded in my spirit yesterday night when I suddenly realized that not for once did God ever call Jacob a deceiver. Not once. Not once did God call Jacob a deceiver. Never once did God call him a crook. As a matter of fact, the Bible says Esau, his brother, was a profane person. The prophetic aspect of the scripture is, the Bible says here, right in Rebekah's womb, two nations were struggling together. Two nations. And the scripture that we read, if you study it, you will find not only two nations, But two types of people were wrestling together. So the prophetic aspect is, if you look at the nations of the world, you will find there are the Jacob nations and there are the Esau nations. When you look at the world system, when you look at the number of people in the world, there are two types according to the scripture. God says there are Jacobs and there are Esaus. And at the end of the message, I want to give you about 10 seconds for you to allow the Holy Spirit to guide your hearts, for you to check yourselves. Are you a Jacob or are you an Esau? Are you with me today? Amen. Amen. The Bible says one is stronger than the other. They don't have the same advantage. They are not equals. One is stronger than the other. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the older shall serve the younger, or bow down to the younger. I'll come to this point, but let me touch the second part, the productive system of these two brothers. And then I will come to the title of the message, to buy your future. How were these boys? What was their work ethics? The Bible says Esau was a wild man. Open your mouth and say wild man. He was not refined. He was not super cool like the person sitting next to you. You know what I mean? He was not refined. He was a rough man, an aggressive man. He was like a beast. As the Bible says, he was a hunter. Open your mouth and say hunter. That gives me the impression this guy must have been strong, muscular, well-built. He had brute force. He tried to intimidate. He had physical strength. He tried to produce the productive system. He tried to produce things in his life by his effort, by his strength, by his own power, or the energy or the strength that he had. A hunter needs to know how to run, needs to, learn how to handle sweat. When you are a hunter, you can only think one animal at a time. And when you are a hunter, you kill what you get. In other words, he's going for the kill. But look at Jacob. Jacob was a cultivator. Open your mouth and say cultivator. The Bible uses the word, he was a mild man. A mild man. A guy who is happy to sit at home. In the tent. In other words, how he produced was not by strength of his physical strength, but by his thoughtfulness. He used wisdom. The word in Hebrew for mild, which the Bible describes Jacob, is an upright man. That's why I said God never saw him as crooked. Jacob was an upright man. Are you with me? Are you with me today? Jacob was an upright man. Look at somebody and say, Jacob was an upright man. Amen. As a matter of fact, a nation God wanted to produce on this earth never came out of Abraham or Isaac or David or from Moses. It came through Jacob because he was upright. Are you with me? God actually produced a nation called Israel out of Jacob. Praise the Lord. How many of you believe that if you chose to be upright in your life, straightforward in your life, God can produce something out of your life that is bigger than you, that can make an impact for generations to come? When you live right for God, it looks like as if you are, not significant for the moment, but in the years to come, you will make a great impact. Your generations will make a great impact for God. Oh, somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Look at somebody and say, that's me. Amen. Jacob, the next thing about Jacob is he's not only a cultivator, he grows what he gets. He knows how to nurture. Are you with me? Amen. Two sets of people, and I'm wondering which are you, a Jacob or an Esau? Are you trying to produce your own salvation by your strength? I'm gonna live right. I'm gonna pray hard. I'm gonna fast for 40 days. I'm gonna do this for God. I'm gonna do that for God. It's a good thought, the best thought. But many a time, your strength cannot produce it. Only the grace of God can produce it. You need to depend upon God and say, Lord, I need your grace. I need your strength. I need your help. I need you to work a work within me that will bring your name honor and glory. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you a Jacob or are you an Esau? Imagine Jacob and Esau go out into the forest and they see a deer or a gazelle or an antelope or something in the bushes. They see one. The first thought that comes to Esau is, kill it, kill it, kill it, kill it. But the first thought that comes to Jacob is, get it home and breed it, breed it, breed it, breed it. You understand what I'm saying? God is looking for people who will cultivate you. Amen. Who will, the little that you have, you will allow it to grow. You will nurture it. You won't destroy it. You will nurture it. You will make it grow. The little that you have, whatever it might be your faith, it might be your hope, it might be your prayer time, it might be your worship, it might be your finances, it might be your relationship. The little that you have, you don't have the perfect marriage, you don't have the perfect relationship with people, but what you have, you will nurture it, you will forgive, you will bless, you will nurture it. But Esau is looking to destroy, to burn it up, to break it down. But God is looking for nurturers. God is looking for cultivators. God is looking for people who will allow things to grow and multiply and breed in your life. Lift your hand and give a shout to Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Look at this. If God blesses Esau with abundance, the next day he will bring it to extinction. Are you with me? Because the only thing that he knows is God brings the best relationships in your life and you destroy it. God brings the biggest blessings into your life and you... That's the only thing that Esau knows. But Jacob will always start with little and will end up with abundance. Jacob's prayer is, Lord, give me a seed and I will make a forest for you. Are you with me? Lord, just give me a seed and I will make a forest for you. Yes, our prayer is, Lord, give me a forest and he will burn it up. Are you a Jacob or are you an Esau? Esau will make the forest a desert. He will take it and spend it. If you give him money, he will take it, spend it. He won't nurture it. He won't allow it to grow. He will take it, spend it. Buy the best looking car, fancy looking clothes, the best looking phone and the iPhone and the iPad, burn it up. The other guy will know how to give to God. He will know how to save it, how to nurture it, how to steward it well, how to allow it to grow. Look at somebody and say, be a Jacob, not an Esau. Jacob is a multiplier. Are you with me? Every grace within your life, I prophetically speak into you. Every grace and every gift and every talent and blessing that God has given you in your life, let it multiply. From this day forth, it will multiply. Let it increase. 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 Every blessing of God, every healing, every provision, every kind of grace that God has given you, let it multiply. Let it increase and let it produce an abundance for the glory of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I was reading that when I went to Africa, the first thing that touched me when I went to a nation was, I looked at the soil and I thought, how rich the soil is. And some of the pastors, they were telling me, yes, the soil is so rich. As a matter of fact, you look at nations. There are Jacob nations, Esau nations. There are nations that have, like India, we have all kind of natural resources, iron, coal, you know, whatever. I mean, we have everything. But we're still in poverty, we're still in debt. But you look at a nation like Singapore, it does not even have enough land of its own. It had to reclaim the land from the sea. It does not have a single natural resource. But it's a Jacob nation. It's a city-state that has just flourished. Are you with me? Amen. You, as a matter of fact, when I went to England, they told me, your country is so rich, every kind of crop will grow in your country. Here only potatoes. You can only have French fries or potato wedges or mashed potato. Only potatoes. Are you with me? That's all they have. What is the reason why some countries flourish and some countries don't? Look at Proverbs 12 verse 27. Proverbs 12, 27. Please read it.
The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's
treasure. That's enough. The lazy man does not
roast
what he took in
hunting.
Hunting. So this lazy man is a hunter. You would think a lazy man is sitting at home, he's a hunter. But still the Bible calls him lazy. You know why? Because he hunted, but he didn't roast the game. Except for the Japanese. How many of you like sushi here? Anybody who likes sushi? Yeah. Except for the Japanese, most of us like our food cooked. The lazy man gets the thing, gets the fish, gets the meat, but does not roast it. In other words, he does not add value to it. He gets it, but he does not add value to it. What he has produced, it is only that much. There is no more added value. But countries that have things that are there in the raw state, that they take it and they develop. As a matter of fact, oil. Nigeria is, I think, the 11th largest producer of oil in the world. But there you will find people have to pay more money to fill their cars with petrol than most other countries in the world which does not have even oil. Why? They have it in the natural state, but they haven't roasted the game. Are you with me? They haven't developed it. The system is faulty. There are preachers. You preach a message like this, you take the notes, and you're called to preach. You can go forth and preach, but you don't know how to roast it. You take the talk and you give it as it is. But why don't you take it, look at the congregation, pray, add a little bit of spice to it, make it consumable, and then feed it. Are you with me? That is roasting the game. Most people, how many of you are talented? God has given each, hello, come on. God has given each and every one of you talent. Some of you five, some of you two, some of you one. But not a single one is without anything. Are you with me? Look at somebody and say, I like the one that you have. Oh, it looks like two. Look at that person again and say, look like two. It looks like five. Then multiply. See, talent is there in the raw state. But when you develop it, then it is what is called skill. Are you with me? God gives you talent. Who are the people who excel? Are the guys who develop it. I didn't have a talent to preach. I still don't think I have. As a matter of fact, I remember for years sitting and crying and saying, Lord, please, if I could ever stand with a mic in my hand and declare the glory of Jesus. The first time I tried, you know my testimony, how my knees were shaking and I had to sit down and just say a few words, looking at one woman who was sitting in the front who had kind and nice sweet face, and I preached to her. But once I realized that I had a talent, and it won't make me a great preacher unless I develop it, I began to study God's word, move around with people who are gifted, ask them, ask for an impartation of the anointing, and developed it. Are you with me? How to discern a spiritual atmosphere, how to break a breakthrough into a particular kind of soil with God's word. It doesn't come by you just reading the Bible and saying, I'm called, I'm going home, knowing that you have a talent to serve God, but sitting at home saying, God is not using me, God is not using me. Why? Because you have not put in your heart and soul to develop it. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Amen. Some of you with your studies, you have a talent to study, you can get good marks, but you don't develop it, you don't spend time. The third point, the purpose and the value of these two people. The purpose. What does the word purpose mean? Your sense of what is your role in life. What do you make of your role in life? What do you think is your role in life? And how are you going to fulfill that role? That's where your value is. Is this okay? Are you understanding what I'm saying? This is not that kind of message which is gonna get you up and go and jump. It's a little deep. It's simple but deep. Are you with me? It'll help you. It'll help you to understand where you are. If you are an Ezavu, today is the day you say, I am going to come out from the Ezavu system to coming onto the system of Jacob, where I want to see the little that I have grow and flourish for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm using highfalutin words. Okay, some of the kids might not get it. Negotiation skills. How you give up on what you have to get what you think is important for your life. How you give up on what you have to get what you think is important in your life. And I'll explain that point as we come to the last part of this message, so I can just tie it all up together. And hopefully I can do a good job. Just the last point. Pray that I might be able to do a good job with the last point. Brother, help me with that. Oh, yeah. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, here is Esau, who has gone out hunting, worked hard, and is coming home. The scripture that we read. And he is hungry. He's worked hard, but he is hungry. And there is this guy called Jacob, who is sitting at home and who's got stew in his hands. Are you with me? Isn't it funny? You would think the guy who worked hard would be the guy who is having the stew in his hand. But the guy who's sitting at home has got the stew in his hand, and the guy who has worked hard in the field has come back and he's hungry. Where did Jacob get the meat for the stew? Probably, the Bible doesn't say it, I think from Esau. probably once when Esau went hunting and he caught an animal, was about to kill it, Jacob said, "Don't kill it, I'll take it." He cultivated, bred it behind his house. It began to multiply. Deer. Began to multiply. He applied wisdom. He allowed it to multiply. He cultivated it. Gave it some food. Nurtured it. Looked after it. Protected it. Cared for it. Nurtured it up. Why? Because every time he's hungry, he doesn't want to go out and find a deer. But Esau thinks, "I'm smart, I'm strong. Every time I'm hungry, let me go out and hunt." Are you with me? I prefer cultivating. So you don't have to go out there and hunt every day, but applying your heart to wisdom, so you can go and take some of the milk from the cow that you nurtured or from the gazelle that you had in your home and eat when you are hungry and praise God and thank God. Esau comes in and he's so hungry. He says, "Give me food or I will die." And you know how Jacob is? Jacob has got his good clothes on. He's got his cologne. He's shaved. He's smelling good. He's got good music playing. He's got the table set. Kids, close your ears. He's got a nice glass of red wine. He set the table. And he's prepared the stew. He's got his best cutlery, everything out. He's the other guy is sweaty, tired, hungry, worked hard, and hungry. "Please help me, please give me something to eat." Jacob says to him, "I won't give you the stew that I made unless you give me your birthright. Give me your birthright." Birthright, in simple words, is a Jewish blessing which the father gives to the eldest son, saying, "May you have a double of everything that I have, a double portion of all that I have." A simple blessing. Esau comes in. He can see the stew. He can smell the stew. But he can't smell or see his birthright. In other words, he's got no sense of faith for his future. All that he can think of is the immediate. Right now, I am hungry. I need this. When you're hungry, the stew looks more valuable than the birthright. Esau's mindset is, my present need is more important than my future blessing. Are you with me? But buy your future. Jacob's mindset is, I'm willing to negotiate. I'm willing to give up something now for something greater in the future. How many of you understood what I said? Did you understand what I said? I'm willing to give up something now for something greater in the future. The blessing of double portion is more important than right now something simple as stew. So Jacob uses what he has today to acquire his destiny in the future. Look at somebody and say, what you have today, you might need to give up. Are you with me? For making a great impact for the purpose of God in your life in the future. It might be certain relationships that is wrong. Everybody's got a boyfriend at school. But I'm going to give it up because I want to serve Jesus and do the will of God and obey God, which doesn't seem attractive in the present, but later on, because you've done the will of God, the blessing will flow, the double portion will flow. Are you with me? No matter how painful it is, how many people misunderstand? I value the will of God more, the plan of God more, the purpose of God more than my present comfort right now. The job opportunity is there right now. The visa is also there. I can go to Europe. But the double portion of... And I was with this amazing lady, 76, 78, 77 year old. She's from Italy. And I was just speaking with her just 2 days back. She married an Indian. Had wonderful children. Her husband died. And everyone in her family thought she would go back to Italy and raise the kids. But she stayed, young as she was, faithful, committed, raised up the children, paid a price, and now she sees the blessings. At 76, she says, I've seen the blessings. There are choices, but you need to see what on the negotiating table before God. What am I willing to give up now for the future? I want to serve God, but if I'm going to sit on a Saturday night watching movies, the anointing won't flow. Are you with me? Let me give up on the TV time. In nine years, my parents stay just, you know, two roads away from where I stay. In 9 years, I'm saying this so that you can apply your heart. Are you with me? In 9 years, I've stayed with my parents one day. Not because I don't love them, I love them more than anybody else. In 8 years, I only visited my parents once for Christmas. You know why? Because Christmas time is the time when I have to be most of the time in fasting or in prayer, preparing for the congregation to take the congregation into the new year. And so you have to be focused in prayer. Willing to give up now? For the future, for your destiny, for what God has called you to. What are you willing to give up and buy? Are you with me? That's the Jacob generation. The generation out of which nations can come forth. So I want you to close your eyes. Jacob used the little he has today to acquire greatness for the future. He chose what he can become over what he already is. He chose what I can become than what I already am. Give it up. Thank you. So this evening, I want you to close your eyes and see for a moment, are you willing? Don't be like Esau, who sold his birthright for stew. But are you willing to buy your future by faith, by giving up something? To glorify Jesus and serve God. The purpose of God is there in your life, but you have not given up certain things, certain attitudes maybe, I don't know. Sometimes to see the blessing of God in your own home, sometimes you have to just give up your ego. Don't get into a fight. Just give up on that selfishness. Sometimes just for the peace of God in your heart, you just have to forgive and let go the grudge and the hurt and bless those people who have hurt you. Buy the future. One will always be stronger than the other, and that is the Jacob generation. When you say, Lord, it is your will, it is you and your wisdom, what you want that matters to me more than anything else, more than my temporary needs and my setbacks and struggles and troubles and pain and discomfort. What matters is you, Lord, what you want in my life. When you're able to say that from your heart and surrender, that's the time God fills you with his wisdom and blessing. Say this prayer from your heart. Either you can stand up or kneel down in your places. Say this from your heart. Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are my Lord and my master. I give you my life. Help me to be in the same system that Jacob was, having your wisdom, being an upright person, Lord, valuing the things that you value, the double portion, your blessing, your will, your way, your word, your kingdom in my life. I surrender my life to you. I don't want to be a profane person like Esau. I don't want to look at the momentary. I don't want a momentary gratification of my senses, oh God. I want your grace to see the future that you have planned for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive my sins. Forgive my rebellions. Cleanse me with your precious blood. I submit to you. I surrender to you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.